Okay, we are going to talk about the preparation of patience this morning. Father, we just welcome you. We invite your Holy Spirit to just take over, bring life, take over the direction, Lord. We ask you to take over us, overtake us. Father, all morning I had this little song going on about the fire in your eyes. And Lord, when the fire in your eyes looks inside of us, it just burns up everything that's not of you. And we want that to happen because we want to go further. We want to prepare more space in us where you can live freely and not be blocked or hindered by the things in us. So we ask you to look into us with your fiery eyes and let repentance come. Let the burning come. Burn away all fears and doubts and discouragements. Everything and anything that stands in your way this morning, and we just want you to breathe life into your message. In the name of Jesus, we put it in your hands. Amen. Our goal, I hope our goal, I don't know who wrote teach up here. That's not part of my writing. But our goal is to know God. You know that in John 17 it says salvation, eternal life, is to know God. It's not just to say a prayer. It's not just go to church, flip your life over and try to do better, but it is an intimate knowing in relationship with God and all that God is. We keep hearing about kingdom living. Kingdom living is when we finally reach a point where we stop living in the flesh, in the realm that is that the Satan is the prince of the power of the air. There's his realm. That's what's natural. That's where all of our emotions and our thoughts and our training naturally live. But if we want to rise above that and live in the kingdom of God, we have to come to a place of putting flesh down and beginning to live and walk in love and peace and mercy and all that God is. That's His glory. So for His glory to cover the face of the earth, it has to happen through His people. He chooses to live through us. God is wanting to do some things. He can't do those things unless we are prepared to let Him do those things through us. Inner healing is a side effect of knowing God. All those issues that are inside of us, the hurts, all of our struggles with our sin, all of it, when God brings deliverance and healing, that's just a side effect of knowing God in a deeper way, who He is, what He can do, and walking with Him. So coming to know God will bring us to the ability to live in His love. That's our goal. We want to know God, be able to walk in the love of God. The love of God, charity, pure agape love, is power. God is love. And that power of His love flowing through us to other people is what heals, is what changes, is what transforms, is what brings them into God. He's getting ready to do some awesome things. We've seen moves where God has done healing, physical healing. And we've seen those moves get sometimes carried away with the physical healing being the whole point of the meeting. And then in the river move, we saw where God was doing the inner healing, you know, just going back in us and bringing the healing from depression and from the woundedness. But that was a side effect of encountering the real God. Well, as soon as the miracles stopped, and it was a time to just walk out by faith, a lot of people just fell away and quit. But there is the patience of walking out that hard time, the patience of enduring the trials and afflictions and persecutions. And we want to bring the power of the patience and the preparation of the patience in us today. So we want the presence of God. We want the reality of God living in us. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a process that ends in charity. And that's what we want to look at first, is 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a promise in the first verse. But who all this is going to come to is to those who have accepted Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. A lot of people are saved, but they don't have grace or peace. They do not have that multiplied in their life because it comes through knowing God in a deeper way. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through, again, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, through this knowledge of God, in verse 4, says, whereby is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So when you come into God, you're born again into God, by knowing God deeper, He begins to give you promises. All kinds of promises. He promises to always be with us, never leave us. He promised to conquer our fear. He promises to heal us. He promises to give us power to cast out demons and heal others, to prophesy. He promises these things and personal promises to you. But it comes as you know Him. As you grow in relationship of knowing Him deeper, He'll begin to reveal these things and give these things. So these great promises, by these great promises, that by these we would be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. A lot of people today are going, we're in a day of grace, and they don't even try to conquer sin in their life. They don't even try to perfect their life into a holiness, into the character of God. They just say, oh, all my sins are forgiven, and God understands this is too hard for me. But that's not what the Word says. It says, by the promises God gave us, we should escape the corruption in the world, escape the things through lust that have trapped us. And beside that, that's just the basics. Now we've laid the basics. We have God. We ought to get to know God. We ought to have all these promises of God. We should have peace and grace multiplied. And then we should escape the corruption of this world. Now we've laid down the basic salvation and what it's meant to be. And beside this, and it doesn't mean also, it means right alongside of it. Right with that, beside of it. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh in these things is blind. He cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it says we are going to get entrance into the kingdom of God. We are going to find out how to walk in, live in, think in, feel in, breathe in, and move in the kingdom of God. And it's a kingdom of power and a kingdom of love. But let's look at the list for a minute. He said, in taking the list of how we get there, He said, add to your faith virtue. Faith is the very first step. There's a verse in Colossians that said, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. The same way you get saved is the exact same way we have to live. It starts with faith. Faith is not based on what we want to try really hard to believe. It's based on what God said to us. So our salvation is based on the fact that God said, if you will repent toward God, if you will give your life to God and put your faith in Christ Jesus, He died, He paid for your sins. If you will trust in what He did, put your faith in that, you will be saved. So faith is believing what God told you. Take anything in your life that God has told you, the promises that He's giving you. God said, lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. You believe what He said. You have to believe what He said. So the very first step is believing what God has said. Now we got saved by putting our faith in Christ. He said, now add to that faith virtue. Clean your life up. Let God clean your life up. Stop the anger. Stop stealing. Stop swearing. Stop hating. Start cleaning your life up. Get some morality in your life. You accepted Christ. He lives in you. You have His power to overcome. And God said, I will be with you. Just do what I tell you to do, and we will conquer these things. So put some virtue in your life and clean it up morally. Usually after we get saved, if we've really met God, there's an instant cleaning up of our life. We don't hate who we hated. We don't want to murder. We don't want to steal. We're still working on a lot of the cleaning up areas. But then add to that life knowledge. You must begin to know about God in order to get closer. All these things are helping us grow in relationship with God, who He is, what He does, what He wants to do, how He does it. So we need to begin to study the Word. We need to begin to get in a group of people where we hear and we grow and we gain knowledge about God, learning who He is and what He wants and how He works. Then to that knowledge, we add temperance. Temperance is self-control. Even though we've cleaned our life up, even though we've trusted God and we love Him, even though we're learning in the Scripture, we need to begin to control our flesh. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. It's too hard. God told me to do something I don't like. We need to begin to control. Take control of yourself. Take control of your thoughts. Take control of your emotions. Don't allow yourself to just blow up and tell somebody off. Begin to take control of yourself. As we conquer self-control, we move to patience. We move into patience. I'm going to come back to patience in a minute, and that's what we're going to focus on. I got so excited that if we get the step of patience, the very next thing is godliness. If we get patience, godliness will begin to flow in and through our life. And from godliness, we'll show brotherly kindness. I don't think we have to learn brotherly kindness. I think once we get godliness, we're going to be kind to our brothers. And then charity. That is the extreme outpouring of God's unconditional love. And there is where the power is. There is where the power is. Now that word patience, I began to study it because Don told me I was impatient. So I went home and started studying the word patience. And I thought, yes, I'm impatient. You know, why aren't you on time? Tap my fingers. And how many times have I told you to clean that room? And, you know, I thought even impatient with me. Why don't I stop doing this? You know, that kind of impatience. But what God took me into was a very, very deeper revelation of what He means by patience and how powerful it is to possess that characteristic in your life, because it leads to godliness and it leads to the outpouring of the power of God in love. We have to face this patience thing. And because if we begin to live in this outpouring of God's love, we are now able to enter into the kingdom living. It didn't say you can't go to heaven. It said you can't live in this kingdom of God. You take one step in the kingdom of God, and then your flesh just goes right down through those clouds and you're walking here again. You're angry, you're irritated, you don't want to do this, and you're defensive, and all that comes right back on us, and we cannot release the power of God for what He's coming to do. We can't, because it comes through this godly love. It comes through patience and godliness. So let's look at the word patience now. Patience, defined in the Strong's, I guess I move over here now and block my thing a little bit. Patience defined is long-suffering, endurance, continuing, cheerfully waiting, enduring under difficult circumstances, persevering in the face of a delay or a provocation, or when there's annoyances, irritations, all kinds of things coming, strain and stress coming against you, continuing to do what you set to do, not losing your faith, but hanging in there. Luke 21:19 says, in your patience, possess your soul. Possess your soul. Our soul is made up of who we are, our thoughts, our emotions, and our will. So God says, in your patience, possess your souls. You have to have a predetermined, my thoughts are not going to tell me what to do. My feelings are not going to tell me what to do. My will is not going to do what it wants. I'm going to grab hold of them, take ownership of them, and I'm going to tell them what they're going to do. Because, see, I've already started out with faith about something that God told me. Now, I don't care what comes against it, what I see, what I think, what I feel. I have to grab ownership of those things and say, what God said is true. I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to patiently endure the affliction of this thing because it's what is forming Christ in me. So I'm going to accept it. I'm going to go through it. Now, lately around here, God's been really good at giving us lots of practice on that. He's been putting us in the face of affliction, putting us under persecution, putting people where they don't want to be, doing what they don't want to do, standing right in the face of what they'd rather do. He is touching our buttons big time because he wants us to patiently endure. Patiently endure. Keep believing what he said to you and patiently endure. It reminds me again of the story of us losing our house. When he said, I'm going to give you this house, you're going to own this house, and then he let it burn down, and we got put out. At first I thought, God, I thought you said we were going to own it and move no more. And now we just moved. He said, do you own it? You know, he's so tricky. Nate likes to call him sneaky, Jehovah sneaky. He's tricky. You got to watch those words. And we learn to take exactly what he said, not what we think it meant. Not what we think it meant. We moved back in the house, all remodeled and beautiful, and I'm going, now we got our promise. I forgot the little part, do you own it? We were still renting it. We got evicted. We couldn't pay for it. We got evicted. But God had given me scriptures. By the time we got evicted, he had given me scriptures. He had given me proof. He had given me signs. He had confirmed that promise. So I just chose not to believe what I saw, what I thought, what I felt. And I said, that is my house. I have put my hand on that promise, and it is mine because God said so. I don't care how long it takes before I die or after I die and come back for 1,000 years. I will live in that house, and I will own it, and then I won't move again. Now, I've been living where I'm at for 7 years. The house before this for 5 years, that's 12 years since I lost my promise house. The house I'm in now is probably better than the promise house, but it's not mine. I mean, I own it, but it's not mine. It's not my promise. I am not letting go of it because God said so. Now I'm patiently enduring everything that tells me that can't be true because God said so. That's patience. But we need patience in every area of our life. We need that kind of patience. Patience is believing, hanging on, enduring everything, hanging on to what God said and not letting go. No matter what you see, take possession of your soul. Tell it what it's going to do. Kick out deceptions and doubts and fears and dislikes. Let it all go and just hang on. Romans 5:3. Therefore, we glory in tribulations. What? Did you ever wonder how the apostles said we glory in tribulations? Do you notice he really didn't say we like them? He said we glory in them. Glory is the character of God. It is the presence of God. It is the love of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering of God. It is everything that God is. And when he said we glory in tribulation, it's because he had learned that tribulation works patience. And we can't finish our process, the preparation in us, without patience. So he had learned this thing of trials and tribulations, persecutions, all of it is for me to form Christ in me. Therefore, I get excited and say, God be glorified. God be glorified. God, my glory, the character of who I am, will be seen when I'm in tribulation. Not when things are going well. Not when we go, oh, the power of God is on me today and I'm preaching and I'm healing and people are seeing God on me today. That's not when you are getting any glory. Your character is really seen when everything's against you. when it's hard, when it's difficult, when you've gone through death, you've gone through loss, you've gone through the hard things, and you're not liking it. But you're being like Job, who said, God, I wish I'd never been born. I hate my life. But though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. It's okay to grieve. It's okay not to like where you're at, as long as you still trust him. That's the ultimate test. God, it's okay. Bring it on. I want Christ formed in me. Please don't give up until you win, until you accomplish it. He said, we glory in tribulations, in pressures, in afflictions, in anguish, in persecutions, in troubles. We glory in that, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. There is a purpose. There is a purpose in what I'm going through. There is a purpose. And there is a purpose ahead of you. We are a prepared people for a prepared purpose. So we accept our preparation because we want to get up to that thing we're prepared for. Knowing, being aware, considering everything I'm going through has a divine and awesome and wonderful purpose to form Christ in me and to deliver me to my purpose in life, prepared. Romans 5:4, and patience works experience, and experience hope. When we go through knowing, believing, and hanging on and trusting, that experience brings hope. I have been through enough tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, saw what God did. And that gives me hope now when I go through tribulations, that I know what God will do. I know that he's for me. And if God decided I should lose everything, he's up to something good. If God decides my best friend should hate me right now, he's up to something good in me. There's a reason for it if he's letting it happen. Now, sometimes it's happening because of my disobedience, getting out where I ought not to be, out from under the umbrella of protection, so I get, you know, hail hits me in the head. Sometimes it's my fault, and there's still purpose in it. Why did he let that hail hit me in the head? To teach me to stay under the umbrella. There's still purpose in it. There's always purpose in what we're going through. And the purpose is forming Christ in us so the glory of God can get loose and flow to other people. So he puts us in tribulation. And we get excited about it, even though we hate it. We just say, the more I cooperate with it, maybe the quicker I'll move through it. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. He is a God of patience himself. And this word defined is continuing, long-suffering, enduring. How much rejection does our God endure? How much patience does he have to display? 2 Corinthians 6:4. We're going to talk to ministers now. And how patience is a part of your life as a minister. 2 Corinthians 6:4. But in all things, approving ourselves to you as ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. He said we're approving ourselves to truly be a minister of God when we're in affliction, in necessity, in distress. The way you respond in those pressures proves you're a minister of God. That's what proves it. You know, he said, my disciples, you know them because they love one another. But patience had to be worked in them. The long-suffering, enduring, taking the hard stuff, trusting God, hanging in there, bearing with it in a godly way had to happen before they could get to godliness, before they could be kind to brothers, before charity could be birthed in them, before the charity could even be birthed in us. The way you handle life is what proves to others whether or not you're really a minister of God. Apostles, we've heard the proof of an apostle is signs and wonders. If you're an apostle, we should see your signs and wonders. Show us your miracles so we know you're an apostle. The devil can do miracles. There's miracles all over the place. And God said, in the last days, you will see mighty signs and wonders done by the enemy. So that alone doesn't prove anything. But this does. 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Patience preceded mighty wonders and deeds. We go, God, we want to see miracles. Then show me some patience. God, I want miracles to flow through our hands here. Then endure these tribulations. Endure the afflictions. Endure the distress. Endure persecution patiently, godly, trusting, believing. Let it have its perfect work in you so that God's love can come out of you and heal somebody. It's not only everything we're going through, but there's a patience since the day you mentioned my impatience. Thank you. There is a patience in healing. There is a patience when we pray. I have not been and am not by nature a patient person. When I would pray for somebody, I'm like, God's given me a word. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for a minute, you know, for God to tell me. I don't just pray. I will not just pray for you whatever you ask me to pray. I will ask God what he wants to say, and that's what I'll pray. And especially if it has nothing to do with what you asked me to pray, I might say, are you sure you want me to pray for you? Because I will only pray what God is saying. So I'm patient enough to get to that point. And I might even be patient enough now to pray over you and let God love you for a minute. And then I'm going, there's a peace, there's a quiet, nothing happening. Done. Not lately. God says, don't you move till I tell you to move. And he's having me stay longer. And when I stay longer and I pass that long, silent waiting, bam, the Spirit rises back up and does more. And I've learned that even if he's not speaking, he's doing something through that contact. He's flowing through that contact. And you need to stay till he's done. We have to stop giving people what they want and give them what God says. We have to slow down and know what he says. Because if we don't move in what he's doing, he can't do anything. If we back off before he's done, he can't complete it. What if a person's only half healed? What happens if you get half of a surgery? The doctor cuts you open, leaves you bleeding, and says, well, I don't feel like finishing the job. I think I'll leave now. I did that spiritually one time. I scared myself. I was sitting right under our back cross. I was sitting in our house. We had church in the house. We had a Sunday, and this is way back. We first started getting into the move of God, and I was still kind of like, this is weird to me as a Baptist. You know, I didn't like to be out of control. I had a hard time speaking in tongues because I couldn't know what I was saying. I don't like to ever, I don't drink, I don't drug, never wanted that because I want to know where my mind is every minute. Well, getting out in the spirit realm was scary. But I let God do it. And I'm sitting under the cross with a microphone and I'd walked people into a vision. And the vision kept going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And people began opening up. God began getting down inside of people into their deeper issues. And he was cutting deep. He was cutting so deep. And they were going so deep. I opened my eyes and I looked and I knew people were going so deep. And I got scared. And I said, oh, what am I doing? What if it's not God? Where am I taking people? I can't do this. And I quit. I just quit. I quit talking. I turned off the mic and I left the room. And I went to bed that night, and God said, I was doing surgery. I had them cut open deep, and you left them bleeding. He said, they went home bleeding. They didn't get healed. I hadn't finished the job. I hadn't finished. We have to have patience to minister what God is doing, because it can't be about, oh, how good am I praying? How good? What is happening? How do I feel? You have to possess your soul. Take control of your thoughts. Take control of what you feel. Take control of what you want and don't want. And give God the patience to completely flow and finish what he's doing. Emelina was a good example on Sunday morning. She was crying and crying and she was scared. And we could have just said, well, we need to let her go because she's scared. God said, do not stop until she calms down, because she can't receive the prayer until she goes calm. We had to wait until she's ready to receive. Patience is key to God getting to do miracles. It's key. It is not line them up and go, heal, 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 heal. Oh, yay, they all fell down. So what? Now ask God what to do with them on the floor. Who do you need to touch? Who do you need to sit by? When God was moving in the River Move 15 years ago, I saw a little girl sit down by my husband and just put her hand on him, and that child sat there 30 minutes. She never spoke a word. She sat there 30 minutes just letting God flow. It takes patience. That's why we don't see a lot of deeper healing. We might see, oh, I got over my head cold. My headache is gone. Maybe those are things God can do quickly through us impatient people. But what if he's after cancer? What if he's after growing a new organ or a new bone? What if he's after something that takes more inside that person? And what if it's because he's just wanting to develop the patience in us, so he's taking his time? It's about us, too. We need patience if we want to see the miracles. We have to get this patience thing down. Signs of an apostle were wrought in you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened, would we like to be this? Strengthened with all might? Would you like to be enabled with power and ability to do the abundant working of miracles of God? Well, enabled, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience. That great power comes through patience. Unto all patience, which is a cheerful and a hopeful, enduring, and waiting. Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Oh God, do I have to stand here any longer? He can't flow through that. We want to see power. We want to reach a point of godly patience. Patience takes involvement. It takes wisdom. It takes time. It takes obedience. It's like God sends you on a little mini mission. Or maybe it's a big, huge mission. It might take years. It might be a patience for 30 minutes. But when God sends you, tells you to do something, you have to do it in the right attitude. Because if you do it in the wrong attitude, God kind of has to just fold his hands and say, when you get over your attitude, we start. You know? Step one can't begin until you surrender the attitude, because God doesn't flow through attitude. You have to surrender everything. Let the love of God have his perfect work in you. So that's the joyfulness. When he says, with joyfulness, knowing what it's doing, knowing it's forming Christ, knowing there is a purpose. We need to seek his wisdom, his ability. God loves to tell us what we cannot do. I could not sit still for 5 minutes. Everybody thinks Harvey's the hyperspaz in the house because, you know, he's more outgoing. But even if I'm having to sit still, if you ever watch, I'm scribbling, I'm doodling, I'm drawing flowers, I'm tapping. I could not sit still through a service without God bringing his patience to me. I have to yield into God. I am my brain's going 50 directions at one time. And when I'm sitting still, I'm thinking of all the directions I should be moving. I can't bring that under without God. There's a complete dependence on God. God, I can't do what you're asking me to do, but I'm willing to let you do it in me. I'll just surrender and let you do it in me, and I'll cooperate. I will possess my soul and let you do it. Do you want to see this power of God break out? 1 Thessalonians 1:2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the sight of God and our Father. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Receiving the word in much affliction. God will test. You know, he gives you a word, and then he will test that word. He will test you believing that word and enduring and waiting on it his way. So, you know, sometimes people want to run ahead and grab what God said. God told me I'm going to own that house. I'm going to get it. Well, you can't until he gives you the money, right? Or maybe you're trying to get it when you got a little bit of money, couldn't afford it, and now you lose it. You have to take the steps of patience. So you were examples to all that believe. Now he's talking to the common average every believer in the church when he says, we are so excited that we see your labor of love and your patience and your hope, that you received the word in much affliction and joy in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you were an example to everyone who believes. The way that you cheerfully, joyfully respond to the hard things in life because you trust God tells other people you're a believer. That is your testimony. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. It's more than just patiently waiting for your wife to be ready because the bus is leaving. That is not a real tribulation. However, when we conquer this big thing of what patience is, it will also affect these little areas of our life. Hebrews 6:12, be not slothful. Don't be lazy or stupid. That word means don't be lazy or stupid. Don't be a sloth. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. Without patience, you won't receive your promises. Because your promise is right at the end of your patience. So if you don't keep waiting on it patiently, you never reach it. He can put it off for 30 years. You can go to heaven and say, God, but you promised. But some promises are conditional. Hebrews 10:36. I already said that one. James 1:3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. That word means complete, prepared, ready, growing in the character of God, yielding to the character of God, perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This is saying you need to be complete. Your preparation needs to be completed for what God put you on this earth to do. Your preparation needs to be completed. And that comes through patience, through endurance, and your faith until you finally reach a perfectly sound, complete, lacking nothing. You're ready. Now God can flow through you for what he wants to do. Finally prepared, training complete. What he brought us here to do, we're ready for. James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and he has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. We talk about latter rain. God, we've seen little sprinklings. We want the downpouring. Then we have to prepare. We have to be trained. We have to patiently endure and get ready. Prophets are proven by patience. James 5:10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. These are those who have powerfully prophesied for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You will not power up without patience. You will not power up without patience. It's amazing. He said, I want to speak for God. I have the gift of prophecy. Blah, 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 blah. You start speaking. No, there's a developing. There's a developing of that prophecy in you. Yes, in the beginning, you throw out a few words of God and you go, whoa, that was true. I was right on. They said so. He showed me. I did that when I first started learning a prophecy. I walked up. God says, go pray for that sick woman. I said, huh, I don't never done that before. I'll tell you. Faith. I walked up. I touched her. He said, I see her like a white birch tree. And There was things, several things that were wrong, and the tree was beginning to die, you know. I thought, okay, whatever, God. And I said it, and she said, she just started weeping. That's my favorite tree. That's my favorite tree. And every disease you named is what I have. He healed her instantly. There was some big old lumpy thing on her arm, and it shrunk right down, and her arm was healed. I thought, yeah, I'm walking in this forever. You know, I'm just going to heal, 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 heal. The next several I prayed for, nothing happened. Because I thought, now, what's wrong with you? Well, we'll just speak healing. No, God didn't tell me to do that. He didn't tell me to do that. See, once he tells you what to do, you have to patiently do it, and then there's hope that it's going to work because he said so. You know, on purpose, he told somebody to dip in the dirty water 7 times, put mud in somebody's eye. Every time he healed, it was different. There is no format for healing. There is no certain way we can do healing. It's different every time. And his bigger purpose is never just the healing. It's always to bring the people into relationship with him. It's always to win the heart of somebody, to save them and rescue them from going to hell, to save and rescue them from their life here that's being lived in the wrong way, to love them, to enter the relationship with them. And that's why healing is sometimes so slow. God has to get what he wants, relationship with you first. He has a purpose. That's why it's so slow. We want to rush past it. Why don't you just heal this person now? Well, they need patience and you need patience. We need a lot of patience. You will not power up without patience. James 5:11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that he is very pitiful and of tender mercy. 2 Peter 1:1. Peter, a servant of Christ and apostle, to those who have obtained like precious faith, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How? Verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called you unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. That by these promises, by these motivations, by these goals that he gives us, we can be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Lust is not just sexual. Lust is anything that overpowers us. We want, we want, we need. We've got to have what we want. That's lust. And beside that, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Clean up morally. Add to virtue knowledge. Study and learn about God. And to this knowledge, temperance, self-control. And unto temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And then we will have charity, the pure love of God. And we will abound. We will not fall. We will abound. We'll begin to see things happening. He said, if you don't have these things, you are blind and you can't see far off. You can't see what he's doing. You can't see the purpose. You can't see the goals. You can't see the road ahead if you don't have these things. Make your calling sure, stable, strong by growing in these things. And then you'll never fail. Paul said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, even though you know them, that you want to be established in this present truth. And then he gives it a second. He says, yeah, I think it's me. As long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Paul said, yeah, I know. There's a lot of you out there saying, I know, I know, I know. You preached that before. I know, I know, I know. He said, yeah, but I'm just going to tell you again and again and again. As long as I am in the flesh of this body, I'm going to keep on telling you, you need these things in you. We need these things in us to see the power of God released through us here at Burning Bush. Now, that's not exactly an inner healing, and yet it is an inner healing, because your inner healing also requires patience. Everything God does requires that we wait, that we trust, that we believe, that we don't let go. If God told you something, and you know he told you, and he confirmed it, never let it go. Patiently endure and wait for it, no matter what you see, think, or feel. Hang on to his promise, and it will come. Father, we pray. I don't know where you want to go from here today, but if there's something you're working in these individual lives, if there's something in each person that you want to bring to the front of their mind right now, Lord, deal with us. Again, the song this morning, I kept seeing the fire in your eyes. In your resurrected body, John said, in his eyes were like flames of fire, pools of fire. God, fire brings a burning away of everything that is not you when we let it. Look in us with those burning eyes. Look in us with those flames of fire and burn away everything that's not you this morning. Quicken your word, breathe life into your word. And Lord, just stalk us with it all week long. Stalk us with it day and night until we get it, till we own it, until we begin to live it and practice it. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for the revelation of this awesome message of patience. We invite you to work it in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.